One who has been expelled from God's kingdom of special mercy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We submissively turn to God and ask for special guidance because we believe He is the All Perfect One, the All Merciful One, and one whose special grace and mercy is available in abundance to those who believe in Him and who submit to His will. Alhamdulillah. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. And we send our salutations and greetings on the Holy Prophet and on his holy progeny, who are the best guides for mankind till the end of time. Elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. In our discussion on the commentary on Dua Kumail, we said that it is appropriate before we start reciting this dua to remind ourselves about the extraordinary status of this dua. And the reason for that is the companion who requested for this dua and who then reported and recorded it for us was an extraordinary companion, number one. And number two, the dua itself that he requests for is the dua of Khidr, and Khidr alayhi salam was not an ordinary person. Indeed, he was beyond the status of a prophet also, because Prophet Musa, one of the chief prophets, Ulul Azm prophets, seeks to meet him, seeks to learn from him, and he makes a contract with him that, can I join you so that you can teach me from what special knowledge that you have been taught by God? وَلَا أَعَصِي لَكَ أَمْرًا, and I shall not disobey your command. A ma'asum prophet will not bind himself to obey another man who could be a sinner, because that would be then contradiction and violation of God's command. So definitely Khidr was an extraordinary person. The dua of Khidr therefore is not ordinary. And number three, the fact that Imam alayhi salam gives him special audience. And number four, the explanation Imam gives him that if you recite this dua even once in your lifetime, it has the potential of transforming you. Next slide, please. Next. And a bird's eye view of the main themes covered in this dua, we could say we can divide it into several paragraphs or sections. One section talks about the different names of God. 10 names are mentioned, which could be summarized into 3 main names. O Lord, you know my problem. O Lord, you have the power to solve my problem. O Lord, you are loving enough to want to solve my problem if I deserve to be helped. And therefore I turn to you. In the next paragraph, we could say it's a tafsir of this ayah, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. When Imam alayhi salam begins to say, اللهم إني أسألك سؤالا من اشتدت فاقته. In paragraph number 3, where Imam alayhi salam says that whatever problems I'm facing, it is not because you have trapped me, rather you have given me all the gifts, I could have misused them or abused them, and therefore I have trapped myself. فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَلَكَ الْحُجَّةُ عَلَيَّ. Paragraph number 4, O Lord, if you do punish me, I confess that I don't have the power to tolerate the fire of this dunya. How can I tolerate and endure the power, the ferocity and the fury of the fire of hell? And then finally, towards the end, O Lord, I ask for forgiveness from all sins, and I want to change my lifestyle permanently. Next slide, please. Next, please. These 10 names of God, اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء, O Lord, I seek by your mercy. And then his power and majesty, وبقوتك وبجبروتك وبعزتك وَبِعَظَمَتِكْ وَبِسُلْطَانِكْ, expressions of his power and majesty and authority and control and greatness. And then finally, وَبِعِلْمِكْ وَبِنُورِكْ وَبِوَجْهِكَ الْبَاقِي. After invoking God by all these beautiful names, finally He says, Ya Nuru, Ya Quddus, O the source of all light, O the absolute light, O the one who is totally pure, the all holy one. I want to get near to you. That's my request. But there's something that is blocking me before I can get near to you, and those are sins. A sin is any act of disobedience. The core, crux, and essence of a sin is, incidentally, if I commit a sin and I don't know it's a sin, I could be pardoned. If I know it's a sin but I forget, I could be pardoned. If I know and I don't forget but I misapply the particular rule in that situation, I could be forgiven. A sin which is punishable is a sin where I know it's an act of disobedience and I deliberately and purposely and knowingly commit it. The core and the crux of this act of sin is defiance. I don't care. I know your command, you told me don't do it, or you're asking me I must do it. But I choose not to obey. I rebel, I defy, I disobey. That's the crux. If it's done once or twice, and then a person realizes and repents and is penitent, he can change. But the danger of the sin is that when it builds up, it can reach a point where this person then becomes rebellious by second nature. Allah creates him pure. But he can become defiant and disobedient and rebellious by second nature, by habit, by consistent, persistent repetition of this disobedience. In, next slide please. In Surah Mutaffifin, chapter 83, Allah mentions one of the greatest dangers of sins, and that is, it has the ability to block an individual from ever reaching God. Ayah number 14, Allah says, you know the why these people who are sinners and disobedient, gradually they begin to doubt in God and to doubt about the possibility of life after death? It's because of their sinfulness. Kalla. بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. The problem with them is that the heart has developed rust. And the rust is because of their disobedience. كَلَّا. Ayah number 15. إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. Surely they shall be veiled, and they shall be blinded, and they shall be blocked from seeing their Lord on the day when everyone shall meet his Lord. If an individual becomes so sinful that he's a hardcore, defiant, disobedient person, it damages his heart. And once the heart is damaged, its ability to feel goodness, to dislike evil, its ability to want to reach God, its ability once it does see the signs of God, all this ability is damaged. It's reduced, it's diminished, it's damaged, in fact it's destroyed. Once it begins to be destroyed irreplaceably and irreparably, that's the end of the story. This person is then committed to the fire of hell forever. Ayah number 16 would be, ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَصَالُ الْجَحِيمِ. Then they shall be committed and relegated to the fire of hell forever. Sin is that slippery slope when we begin to distance ourselves from God. The end result is this. Imam alayhi salam is worried about that first step because it is a slippery slope. If it's not stopped, it can end up in this eternal damnation. And that's the danger. Next slide, please. And the first group of sins, Imam Ali Sahib mentions five or six groups of sins which he wants forgiveness from. And then the final statement, of course, is all sins. Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunuba allati tahtiku al-'isam, tughayyiru al-ni'am, tunzilu al-niqam, tunzilu al-bala, tahbisu ad-du'a. According to another version, taqta'u ar-raja. Six. in the seventh statement, he says, Allahumma ghfirli kulla dhanbin adhnabtu. These six are examples. They're the major ones. But oh Lord, I ask for forgiveness from all sins. The first one is those sins which tear the veil and the cover that you have given to every individual by birth. The cover of innocence, the cover of purity, the cover of the desire to aspire for goodness, for perfection, to want to be good, to be respectful, to have that sense of self-esteem, to avoid what is evil. This is something that is given to everyone. The sense of decency, the sense of self-respect. Lakini, there are certain sins which are so dangerous and harmful that they literally tear open this veil. In one riwayah narrated from the sixth holy Imam, drinking of alcohol is mentioned as the sin which tears the veil. This is a very good example. It enables us to appreciate what is the veil and what is tearing off the veil. In another riwayah narrated from the fourth holy Imam, there are five items mentioned which tear the veil. الذنوب التي تهتك العصام شرب الخمر 1 واللعب بالقمار 2 gambling 3 وتعاطي ما يضحك الناس من اللغو والمزاح and to engage in behavior whereby you make fun of people, you degrade them, you caricature them. And number 4 وذكر عيوب الناس and to criticize negatively people. Mention openly their defects and their mistakes. Well, who is perfect? Who doesn't make mistakes? And number 5, وَمُجَالَسَةُ أَهْلِ الرَّيْبِ and to seek the company of those who don't believe, who have doubts or who deny the fundamental truths of our faith in who is the creator, what is his plan of the creation, and what is his purpose of creation. Let's consider each of these a little more in detail, so in order to enable us to appreciate why is it important to seek forgiveness from these sins before we can get close to the all-perfect one. Next slide, please. Alcohol, of course, is mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Ma'idah, chapter 5, ayah number 90, Allah says, but there are several verses in the Quran that condemn and that prohibit the drinking of alcohol. In a surah which is revealed in Mecca, in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, Allah says, Allah gives you several bounties, several blessings. One of them is the grapevine. And from the grapevine, some of you make intoxicants. There's mention of that. But the prohibition is not mentioned in the Makki surahs. It's mentioned in the Madani surahs, where in Surah Baqarah, Allah says that when they ask you about alcohol, tell them they should avoid, because alcohol may have some good benefits, but it has also harm. And on balance, the harm is much more than the benefit, and therefore it should be avoided. So here the conclusion is, it's better to avoid. In a second surah, in Nisa chapter 4, Allah says, not only is it better for you to avoid, it's a must for you to avoid, especially when you are praying. لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى. Don't drink and be in an intoxicated state when you come for prayers. 3. Not only is it better to avoid, not only is it a must to avoid at least during prayers, it's a must to avoid all the time. Surah Ma'idah, chapter 5, one of the last surahs which is revealed. That's the surah in which the ayah of Ghadir and the ayah of اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم is revealed. Ayah number 90. يا أيها الذين آمنوا. If you are a believer, this act should be avoided. It doesn't go with belief. It's contradictory. يا أيها الذين آمنوا. إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس. It's impurity. You seek purification and perfection. This is something which is impurity. رجس. رجس is another name for نجس. رجسون من عمل الشيطان. If you're a believer, you would be always winning in the battle against shaitan. If you succumb and drink alcohol, you have lost the battle. 2. 3. فاجتنبوا. So avoid it. Don't only not drink it. اجتنبوا is derived from the word اجتناب. اجتناب is from the word janib. Alcohol is on that side and you are on that side. Ijtanibuu. You should be on opposite sides. Don't even go near alcohol. Keep a big distance. Metaphorical way, avoid all means of even accessing or ever consuming alcohol. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. You do wish to get success, you must avoid those factors that block your success. Next slide, please. We'll skip that. Next slide. How does alcohol tear the veil that Allah has given to every human being? Look at these riwayat, which say that faradallah, this is a riwayat narrated from the first holy Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, faradallahu tarka shurbil khamr. Allah has mandated the avoidance of consuming alcohol, tahsinan lil aql, so that it protects the aql. The aql has a protection, it has a cover. One of the biggest agents that can tear and rip open this cover of decency, of humanity, of self-respect, of discipline, is alcohol. In another riwayah, the Prophet is reported to have said, Al-Khamru Ummul Fawahish, the root cause of all evil, alcohol. Yet a third tradition says, Jumi'a Sharru Kulluhu Fi Baytin. All the evils can be metaphorically imagined to be locked into a house. وَجُعِلَ مِفْتَاحُهُ شُرْبُ الْخَمْرِ. And the key to that lock of all the evils is drinking alcohol. Notice how, therefore, it tears open the veil of this self-dignity, human dignity, humanity, self-respect that every individual has been blessed by God by the aql. Unfortunately, alcohol is quite prevalent, the drinking of alcohol, mainly as a social custom. It's part of the when you go to meet friends or you're invited as a guest, or in fact these days even in business dealings and meetings. In Japan, for example, it's quite famous. You refuse to drink alcohol, perhaps you'll be refused promotion in your company. It's become a social custom. But the reason why it's prohibited is not when it's drunk in small amounts. True, when you drink in small amounts, perhaps it has some good effects. It can alleviate and reduce the sense of stress and tension that you may have. It may increase your appetite, so you can drink it as an appetizer before food. Or it has an anesthetic effect. It can numb your pain. But that's in small amounts. Social drink. Recreation. Curiosity. Experimenting. Lakini. The problem is when you start drinking in bigger amounts, once you start drinking in large amounts, then your critical thinking abilities are affected. Concentration down. Secondly, you suddenly start feeling overconfident and being able to do fantastic things and things that you would have otherwise avoided when you were sober. Well, you're confident in doing them now. And number three, you lose your sense of caution. You're ready to take risks. I'm in control. In fact, they're losing control. They lose, when the drink gets higher, they lose their coordination also. In fact, some of the other functions. It's not haram to pray when your bladder is full or when your bowels are full and you want to empty it. Kwa nini? Because you're not a child. When the bladder is full, automatically it won't open up because you have control. The automatic process of a full bladder pressurizing and therefore releasing is blocked because the higher center up here sends down blocking signals. In alcohol, in higher levels, that control function is gone. The bladder opens up uncontrollably. And finally, of course, in very high doses, it can lead to stupor, coma, and even death. Notice the danger is the transition from social drinking for recreation to drinking as a habit, drinking as dependence, drinking where You don't only drink on occasions, but you begin to drink every day. You are now seeking the pleasure given by alcohol. Therefore, even when others are drinking mildly, you go and drink heavily. No, you go beyond that. You don't only drink on occasions, but every day. But your functioning every day depends on drinking alcohol. Before you go to work, you want to drink a dose, because your normality, your normal function level, cannot be achieved till you drink. This person is now dependent. This person is now addicted. He doesn't believe he's got a problem. Oh, I can stop anytime I want. He's a liar. He's lost the ability to even judge his own problem. So, social drinkers can say, well, I can control my drinking habit. What's wrong? I can maintain my self-control, self-dignity, self-respect. That's the trap. Unfortunately, alcohol drinking has got this problem, that the slipping down from social drinking to drinking as a habit, when the craving becomes uncontrollable, that change, that transition, that slip is unpredictable. Who do you think will become a heavy drinker? Can we predict it? A mechanical, skillful worker, a laborer, a poor drinker, no, a computer specialist, no, a successful businessman, no, a politician. Statistics and sociological studies show there is no barrier. Everyone, even religious people, even churchgoers of any and every denomination, have fallen into the trap. Kwa nini? Kwa sababu it's unpredictable. Who will go from social drinking to heavy drinking? When will this become a habit, uncontrollable craving? And when then you want to drink just to avoid the withdrawal symptoms, you don't get your dose, you start feeling shaky, you start sweating, you start feeling nauseated. You get anxiety if you don't drink. You must drink just to be normal now. When do you become that? It's not known. It's not predictable. So that's why we are told, مَا أَسْكَرَ كَثِيرُهُ فَقَلِيلُهُ حَرَامٌ. What intoxicates in higher doses, even a drop, is haram. The ayah said, فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ, and you must avoid it. And therefore, it is not possible for God to have sent prophets to any community and every community, but that He must have legislated the prohibition of alcohol. We believe that every community, Allah sent a prophet to them. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. Be it Arabia, be it the rest of Asia, be it Africa, be it South America, be it North America, be it Australia. At any time, prophets must have been sent to them. Maybe the records are missing. Maybe the messages have been distorted. But there's one message that has been sent to every prophet and to every community. And that is the prohibition. The sixth holy Imam says, مَا بَعَثَ اللَّهُ نَبِيًّا قَطُّ. There is not a single prophet sent to any community إِلَّا. But that, without exception, وَقَدْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ إِذَا أَكْمَلَ لَهُ دِينَهُ كَانَ فِيهِ تَحْرِيمُ الْخَمْرُ. But that He knows, once the message is delivered to its full, and people have understood the message, definitely there is prohibition of alcohol. Kwanini kwasababu. The fundamental entity that God addresses in a human being is His aql. And the biggest enemy of this aql is alcohol. Haiwezekani, God on the day of judgment is going to take into account and to question and to try and judge when the aql itself is lost. Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunuba allati tahti kull 'isam. Not that we would be drinking alcohol, but here perhaps even the temptation to go towards the intoxicant. Incidentally, it's not only alcohol, any other intoxicant. That even temptation to go towards the intoxicant is something that should be avoided. Next slide, please. Well, the damage of alcohol is very well known in the United States. For example, they've conducted studies. The National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism estimates that this problem drinking, alcoholism, It causes losses to the tune of $185,000 per year in lost productivity, in illnesses, and of course in premature death. This is a clear indication where the damage is more than the benefit. The risk is more than the benefit. So it must be avoided. Next slide, please. The second tahtikul isam, sin, which tears the veil of decency, of self-human dignity that Allah has given everyone. The riwayah mentions is gambling. Al-la'bu bil-qimar. You know, when casinos want to be introduced to a community, the proponents will say that, you know, when we bring gambling to your community, we shall, in your society or in your nation, we shall be generate, it's an industry, we shall be generating jobs and bringing investments, and of course we'll be paying tax revenue to your country, and you can use this revenue for public services and improve your education. So allow us gambling. And besides, what's wrong? Gambling is just a harmless entertainment. The Quran says it is rijsun min amal ash-shaytan. The riwayah says it's something which tears the veil. Observe how. Communities in the United States which have allowed gambling to grow in their midst, they've discovered that problem number one is invariably you get a certain percentage of people who become problem gamblers. They can't control their gambling behavior, just like you have problem alcohol drinkers. Number two, the crime rates have been observed to rise in those communities where gambling is introduced. Koslabo, now this person can't control his habit, and therefore he needs to feed his habit, and therefore he'll begin to play around with the books, or to make false insurance claims, or to steal, straight away steal. Family jewelry will be sold, family possessions will be sold, but this habit has to be fed. Number three, it's also observed that the gambling industry will tend to corrupt the politicians to justify their presence and legislation in their own favor. And number four, but why do you object to gambling? After all, we are paying taxes, and the taxes can be used. And besides, we are attracting tourists and we are attracting outsiders, and they will inject into the community. It has been found the opposite. The majority of the gamblers are not outsiders, they are local community members. And it's the community money that should have been spent, let's say for other harmless entertainment, is now being channeled and directed here. No, money that should have been used sometimes to buy basic necessities for the family is being channeled and diverted into feeding the gambling habit. So community funds are lost. And if you say, well, the revenues collected are going to be pumped back into the community to provide public services, no. What happens is, the legislators say, well, there is enough money coming for education from gambling, so let's cut down on that budget and spend that money elsewhere. Any positive effect that gambling is supposed to provide is not there. But the riwayah says it is a sin which tears the veil. What I could understand is human beings have been created with a sense of self-dignity, self-respect. I should earn by my own efforts. And when I earn by my own efforts, I'm proud. I'm confident. Allah has blessed me with gifts. I've used them and Allah has rewarded me. Gambling is a cheap way by chance to earn somebody else's sweat. You lose that sense of self-respect. It's easy money. You get money for free just by chance, and you tear the veil. You reach a point where it becomes a habit, where you want to earn forever now from other people's earnings, not to make your own efforts to be productive in presenting something to the community which is service and which is going to benefit everyone. The first one was a veil of the aql. This one is a veil whereby my social self-respect is torn away. Gambling is an example. And then next, the third one is caricature, to make fun of someone. Every human being has been given a sense of respect, and the Sharia and the Quran expects us to respect other human beings. When you start making fun, when you start humiliating, when you start ridiculing others, you're basically tearing their veil of social dignity. And that's a sin. Notice the riwayah of Imam Ali alayhi salam is there in Nahjul Balagha, saying number 450, Imam says, مَا مَزَحَ إِمْرُؤٌ مَزْحَةً إِلَّا مَجَّ عَقْلُهُ مَجَّةً. No person ridicules and jests and humiliates and makes fun of somebody else, but that his aql has suffered majja. Majja in the Arabic language, it means to spill out. Imam Ali alayhi salam in one of the khutbah says that when I took power, I found you that there were occasions when you should be doing something, but you were not doing. There were some sins you should be avoiding, but you weren't avoiding. عَرَّفْتُكُمْ مَا أَنْكَرْتُمْ وَسَوَّغْتُكُمْ مَا مَجَجْتُمْ. There were some things you were spilling out. There were some things which were unpalatable for you. You know, like a child, medicine is necessary. But you give the medicine, it's bitter, it spits it out and spills it out. So as a kind, compassionate elder who wants the long-term benefit for this child, you will try to coax and to persuade the child to drink, even though it's difficult and bitter. This process of spilling out. When you make fun of someone, it seems your aql gets so excited, some of it spills out. You lose your aql when you make fun of somebody else. You think you are superior, the other one is inferior. Already you have lost that aql, that critical judgment, whereby you should have a sense of perspective where all of us are equal. Everyone has defects. You have seen this particular defect. What about your own defect? What about your own defect? Next slide, please. Or to criticize. That also tears the veil. Same thing, social respect. The riwayah says, the biggest or the worst blind person is he who cannot see the defect in himself, but only sees defects in others. There's a riwayah which says that Isa alayhi salam, this is a saying from Jesus, quoted in our traditions, that Jesus says, I'm surprised at a man who can see a slight thorn or a slight irritant in somebody else's eye, but he forgets there's a whole stick in his other eye. It's a metaphor. A blind person won't see his own defects, but he sees defects in everybody else. Akbarul aib an ta'iba fi ghayrika ma fi nafsika mithlu. The biggest aib is to say, you have this defect and this defect and this defect, whereas the same defect is there in himself. Respect for others. This veil, this cover, this honor that Allah has given to everyone, it has to be maintained and not torn away. Tahtikul isam. And finally, next slide please. To keep the company of the skeptic, that would be when you tear open the veil of the certainty and the conviction that you have in your true faith. You have accepted the true faith, the evidence is clear. Sometimes people may raise questions and objections, you should be able to answer them. But there are some people who deliberately keep on posing doubts and questions, which then leads some people to doubt their own faith. Let's pray to Allah to get the tawfiq, to be able to recognize that Allah has given a protection to us in our aql, one, in our self-dignity, two, in the respect, social respect that others have, three. Any action that we take to tear open this veil is something that is going to block us from reaching Ya Nuru, Ya Quddusu, Ya Awwal Al Awwaleen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Yes, please. To buy a lottery depends. How is it conducted? Sometimes a lottery is, let's say there's a school and they're planning to bring about development in the school. So what they say is, we are selling our tickets for 1,000 shillings. So everybody who buys the ticket basically is donating $1,000 for the development of the school. But at the same time, what they say is there will be a lottery, and the winner shall be given gift A, gift B, gift C. There are certain gifts. But those gifts, if they're not going to be purchased from the lottery donations, they've approached other donors, they've bought the gifts from that money, and just as an attraction, they want to give away the gifts on a chance draw, because the money doesn't come from the donations itself, the tickets. It's not you earning by chance, pure chance, money that belongs to somebody else. It's you getting a gift that was donated by somebody else. That lottery is okay. The lottery is haram where everyone donates, nobody outside individually gives money for gifts. From that donation, some money is taken out and given to some as gift. That would be haram, because that would be earning by chance. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.